Our entire life seems to depend on it. People fear it. Some strive for it. Others work to avoid it. Our presidents are elected by promising it. Bookstores are crammed with guides and titles on how to create it personally and manage it professionally. Sometimes it's the only constant in life, and other times people desperately want it but can't seem to find how to muster it. And it's change. And the longer we live, the more we're going to see of it. But there's many people that just despise change. Maybe secretly we all do in some way. Remember the fellow one time that went to his doctor, and the doctor, after his examination, said, "Sir, you're in terrible shape." And he said, "Well, say more. And if you don't make some changes," the doctor said, "you're going to be dead real soon." The fellow was totally shocked. He said, "Well, what can I do? Is there anything I can do?" And he said, "Well, what you need to do is to tell your spouse to start making more nutritious meals. And you need to stop working your fingers to the bone. And tell your family you're going to have to stick to a budget. We're going to create this budget and everybody's going to stick to it. And whatever you do, tell your wife to keep the kids off your back. You need to relax. And if you don't make some of these changes, you're going to be dead in 30 days. The fellow was dumbstruck. He said, "Well, this would all sound so much more official coming from you. Would you mind to call my wife and tell her?" And so he leaves the doctor's office. He goes home. His wife comes down to the driveway wailing, "Oh, you poor thing, I just talked to the doctor and you've only got 30 days to live." You know, I think Mark Twain was probably right when he said the only one that likes change is a wet baby, right? But change is all around. Everything changes. Nature changes. Valleys are formed. Mountains erode. Fashion changes. If you don't believe it, just go and look at your old photo albums. Nations change. Families change. Our bodies change. Technology changes. You know, the half point of all human knowledge is within the last 10 years. Shocking. And the speed at which we do things change. I mean, it was just in what, the 1830s or so, that the fastest we could travel was on the back of a horse. And then the railways came along, and then we were traveling 50 to 100 miles an hour. And then by the 1950s, it was jet travel, cruising about 500 miles an hour. And by the early 1980s, it was the old Concorde, allowing us to have breakfast in the UK and lunch in New York City. The speed at which we do things. Perhaps the one word that describes our generation is acceleration. And every decade, they tell us our overall rate of progress has been doubling. And now, as we are finding ourselves here in the 21st century, they tell us that we won't really see 100 years of progress. We're going to see now 20,000 to 30,000 years of progress within a century. Change is a fact of life. And yet we are creatures that really rely upon our relationships with other people. We really like consistency. We like the predictable. There's some level of really appreciating our institutions and those things that we can count on. We have that knack for the sentimental and the tradition, and we desire those constants just to make sense of all the world in which we live. And nearly everybody has a hard time accepting change. I mean, just look back through history. And you may recall from history when Copernicus and Galileo and Kepler and others tried to convince the 16th century world that the earth revolves around the sun, they were met with fierce opposition. In fact, Galileo had to recant his support of Copernican theory, and he really lived the last days of his life under house arrest. Scientists through the years have always faced this kind of frustration. People respond to change in different ways. Another out of the history books in the late 1700s on a market square outside of Paris was the first time that a tethered balloon was set sail. And it was about 33 feet in diameter, and they set it sail that day, and it ascended about 6,000 feet. And they say that that's really the first step in really the history of our world of human flight, and the first time a balloon like that had ever been set sail. But with the laws of gravity and being all that it is, it came down to earth just a few miles away, and the peasants and the people in the field rushed it with clubs and pitchforks because they thought it was the moon that was coming down. Bob Dylan used to sing, "The times they are changing," but maybe we need to say the lines they are changing. And I mean the hairline, the waistline, the credit line, everything, folks, is changing. And we always change in the way we act and think and talk and look. But there's one thing, at least one thing, I want to say to you today that ought to bring you some stability in life, and that our God never changes. The times will change, things will swirl about, but Jesus Christ remains that constant in our lives. I get the inspiration for the title of this message today from that hymn writer back in another generation. His name was Augustus Toplady. Just 23 years of age as he is outside London, there near Somerset, walking down a road where there's cliffs on both sides, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this torrential downpour and this terrible, terrible thunderstorm. He doesn't know which way to turn. There's no place to go except there's rocks on the side, and just then he realizes there's a hollowed out place in one of the cliffs where he can get in and seek shelter. And it is so divine that it's just right there. And while waiting for the storm to pass, he begins to think about that rock in his life, the rock of faith. And those words come to him, "The rock of ages cleft for me." And I have to tell you, folks, in this world that is changing so rapidly, we need shelter. We need a place to come and hide. We need that cleft in the rock that we can stand on. Now, change creates stress, does it not, in our lives? And this morning, I want to talk to you for just a few moments about how you can stabilize your life in the midst of all this continual change. And I want to focus on just three quick things about God that we can lift out of this text before us, and really out of God's word, that ought to provide us some measure of satisfaction and real peace. Something that can really provide some stability for our lives. Think on these things. First of all, that God's promises never change. Amid all of the change that we face, God says he never changes his promises. The laws, the principles, the commands are timeless. Think of those old texts like Isaiah 40. "The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of God shall endure forever." And it's always amazing how the Bible is fresh and new to every generation. It's always relevant. It's always up to date. It's never obsolete. And anything that we humans write eventually goes out of style, doesn't it? I mean, they tell us that when the science books are written these days, by the time they're published and in the hands of the pupils in the classroom, they're already out of date. Think of the computer that you buy at the store. By the time you carry it out to your car, there's already a new one on its way. The old computer manuals no longer work just after a few months. And whatever we humans write eventually changes. But the cross is still the same. The message and the promises of God are always faithful and true. That message of hope and plan of salvation is always available to each and every one of us. And although the world may live in this constant state of flux, God, by his very nature, is fixed. And in a life of unceasing change, Jesus is utterly reliable and completely consistent. I love how Paul there in Romans 4 speaks those words. As he's dialing into the promises of God, he says, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised, he knew that God would never change what he had promised. Now, I don't know about you, but I find a lot of things in life really let us down. Lots of things, that new and greatest technology, your new appliance, just when you need it, it fails. Your friends can let you down. Your family can let you down. Your pastors can let you down. Your spouse can let you down. Your good friends, your coworkers. We're human. We break our promises all the time. But God's promises will never, ever let you down. And I don't know about you, but that really provides a lot of stability in the storms of life. Not only that, but God's purposes we know will never change. Now, we eat foods that do not nourish us. We drink beverages that do not quench our thirst. We wear clothing that do not protect us. And yet these things all symbolize the fact that we live without purpose. And life for many people seem to have no meaning, just like the hamster that gets on the wheel and starts running. But God wants to give you a purpose for living. In God, we find this incredible purpose, and we know it doesn't change. He wants to challenge us to give our lives in that same noble purpose to which Jesus gave his life. And his purpose never changed. And no matter what happens, in you and to you and through you and with you, God's purposes will never change. Again, just as Scripture bears out, that the Lord Almighty has sworn surely, as I have planned it, so it will be as I have purposed it. God is at work, I kid you not, in human history. And in fact, I say to you, history is really his story. It's God's story. And what is this world coming to? As all of us ponder that, it's coming to its climax. The same climax that we all know that God has planned from the very beginning. And I'm not sure, probably like you, what all that entails, but I don't know what the future holds. But thank God we can all say we know who holds the future. And that is a stabilizer. God's purpose for your life is bigger than your problems. Problems can't change, but God's purposes will remain the same. It has not changed God's purpose for your life, and it will not change what he wants to do in your life. The psalmist, these purposes, those who trust in the Lord are as steady and unmoved in any circumstance. And that's what I call a stability factor. Unmoved by any circumstance, secure and stable and confident and sure. And when everything around us changes in this throwaway society where we don't need repair people anymore, because just go out and get another, we find that those aspects of God are unchanging. Any product, as you know, can be improved. We can have better laundry detergent. It can make your clothes cleaner and whiter and safer for the environment. We can have a better cereal with more fiber and more crunch and more vitamins. But God's purposes and promises will never change. And not only that, I remind you that God's attributes, God's personality, never changes. For some 2,000 years, people have been trying to change the attributes and the personality of God. Just even look back to those early ages where that French philosopher and author Voltaire said, oh, in 100 years, the name of Jesus will be forgotten. But take a look here at this text before us in Hebrews chapter 6. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. God, you see, is not fickle in his feelings. He's not vacillating in his viewpoints. He does not experience mood swings. He doesn't treat us according to the whims of the moment. And aren't you glad for that? He is completely consistent with himself. Wouldn't it be awful if we went to God in our prayers and we experienced God in one way one day and in another the next? Wouldn't it be awful if God's personality changed? But we are clearly reminded that God is an anchor. And I wonder today if you are chained in this world and feeling bound, or if you are anchored. You know, chained is kind of like those magicians that would have themselves bind and handcuffed and turned upside down and submerged in water, and they got to free themselves. And sometimes maybe that's how we feel in this world, that we are so bound by everything around us. Well, there's another way to look at it, and that is that we can be anchored. We can be in that cleft of the rock. We can be in that hand of God and find something else: peace and safety and security. Because God's promises and his purposes and his personality doesn't change. Here in this Hebrews 6 and 19, the biblical image here is one of moving ahead in confidence as with an anchor. We used to have about a 24-foot sunbird, and we loved to get out on that boat, out on the Ohio River, out on the lake. And one of the things we would do when we were ready for lunch or we wanted to stay in a certain area is we'd drop the old anchor. And as you know, it prevents you from drifting. When you drift, it can cause you to move to a place and a location that you don't want to be. But when you throw that old anchor down, it causes you to stay put. You know, by casting your anchor forward then, as the New English Version of the Bible here says about this text, it's grasping for the hope that is before us. Now, the anchor used to be that symbol of hope back in the day, a symbol of hope. And it really is a unique and rather strange metaphor. Casting an anchor into the future and winching your way forward. But it's actually an old ancient sailor's practice called kedging. And so when your vessel was docked at the shore and a storm came up, the sailors on board would take the anchor, put it in a smaller vessel, take it out as far as the chain would allow, and drop it off into deeper waters. And slowly and surely, it would pull that vessel out deeper into safe waters. The anchor could then be let down. You know, we are not just to drop an anchor so that we can hold on in the storms of life, because we are anchored to Christ who pulls us along. And as we do, we grow, we renew our mind, we change and become those transformed people of God. Now, I'm a sports fan. And one of the things I enjoy doing is catching my favorite teams. But I can't always do that because I'm at a meeting or I'm busy or there are other things, maybe two ball games on at the same time. And so what I like to do is what probably many of you do, I like to DVR it. But I have a strategy about this, because when I get back, I rewind, and I don't rewind all the way to the beginning. I just rewind to the climax and I watch the close of the game to find out who's going to win. And if my team wins, then I head to the kitchen, get my snacks, and I roll it all the way back to the beginning, so there I can watch the whole thing. Because I know in the end who's going to win. And I know a lot of people say, well, that's not a whole lot of fun, but you know, quite to the contrary, I think it is. And let me just submit to you that we need that kind of DVR mentality, don't we? Because we have already looked at the climax and we know who's going to win. We know there's going to be some moments where we feel like we're down and out and our team is going to lose, but thanks be to God for his unchanging promises and personality, his unchanging purposes. We know in the end that no matter how bad things look, we don't have to worry, because we are going to be in the cleft of the rock. Shall we pray? God, we thank you so very much for the stability that we can find in you. Your plan of salvation is still secure. Your wonderful promises, incredible purposes for our life are still so strong. We give you thanks for the stability that we find in you and pray for your peace to reside upon the hearts and the minds of everyone here today. Give us that tranquility in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of life. May we know your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.